Hi, well, everybody.
Welcome to Lost in the Static. I'm Josh.
I'm Scott, and we still don't have an intro.
Sure. We're working on that. I kind of lost it. We have one recorded, but I lost it.
Anyway, joining us via Skype is a friend of Josh's who I have recently met.
He's the funniest person on the internet. He won that award. Noah Antweiler, the Spoony One. How you doing, Noah?
I'm doing okay, all things considered, you know?
Yeah. Well, tonight's topic is internet trolls, and I wanted you on because you seem to attract them.
Well, it's an interesting topic because one could easily argue, in fact, I would argue that my entire career started from the act of trolling.
You used to be a troll?
Well, that's how I started. I mean, when I like to always tell the story when the Star Wars prequels first came out. That's how I got started. When Star Wars Episode 1 came out, everybody liked it.
Really?
Really.
I don't remember that time. I remember everybody hating that thing.
Everyone came out really highly positive on The Phantom Menace, and I was really one of the only guys around who was vehemently and venomously against this movie. I was really controversial at the time.
Are you talking like a Plinkett, Red Letter Media style hatred?
Nothing that professional. I wasn't doing videos at the time, and when I started, I was just writing movie reviews. Like, I would watch a movie and post on a message board.
Did you even have the Knights of the Dinner Table gig yet?
Yeah. That was when I was writing pages long reviews of Star Wars and really pissing people off.
I remember reading your Boba Fett one. I laughed my ass off at you tearing Boba Fett a new one.
Yeah, and I mean, that's how I got the job, was the guy who was reading these people who were just getting all stirred up and angry, and I was, you know, intentionally pissing people off and making them angry. He's like, you want to write in the magazine, and, you know, people will get pissed off, but they'll read it. And I was like, yeah, sure. But that's how I started, was, and it really didn't take, it was about a year and a half before people started kind of calming down and realizing that, you know, Star Wars, the prequels really sucked hard.
But see, I wouldn't really call what you were doing trolling, because to me, a troll is somebody who just tries to piss somebody else off because they consider that fun.
It's what Josh does on a weekly basis.
That's
really.
Shut up. Pretty much what I was doing, I got to tell you. I mean, I believed what I was saying, but I was saying it because it was kind of stirring up a shitstorm, and it got people interested in what I was doing, I guess. It was kind of the Howard Stern thing where, you know, they hated him, but they wanted to listen and hear what he said next.
What he said next, right. Well, you know, it worked for you, and now you're the funniest person on the internet. Spoony Experiment gets how many hits ballpark a week?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I think I was somewhere around, like, 3.8 million a month, I think, something like that.
That's pretty damn good. You know, and then...
And actually, I am the last funniest person on the internet, because this year's Mashable Awards eliminated about three-quarters of the categories.
Oh, wow.
So, funniest person is no longer a category, so in all likelihood, I am the last and... forever funniest person on the internet, because no one will ever usurp the title.
Do you think if it were still there, who would it go to if you didn't have to choose yourself? Would you go for Nostalgia Critic, Cinema Snob, or...
Honestly, I think, you know, if everyone were up for it, the Angry Video Game Nerd has such a huge following.
I think
he would take it. You know, if he was running, if he was interested in it even last year, I think he'd have just taken it no problem.
All of his stuff at cinemassacre.com is, by the way, where you can find him. And but yeah, he's hilarious. I'll hear you that.
That's not out of jealousy. That's just, I mean, his fan base is huge. He was kind of the prototypical, you know, game critic.
Well, he was also one of those people that just got ultra famous from YouTube. I think he was one of the first ones that did that in the reviewer critic category, and it completely worked for him, everything he was doing. Although, just like, and I'm not meaning this as an insult, Noah, but like watching your early videos compared to the later ones, they're so basic and primal, you know? Watching your early stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been all about improving, and actually, this goes back to the trolls, where I actually almost can't watch some of the earlier stuff because it was really just kind of me. In fact, I didn't even start writing the early reviews. Those were like all improv, right up to John Carpenter's The Thing. Even that one was improv.
The game for the or most, the movie?
Yeah. For the most part, I mean, I didn't even I took notes, but I didn't have anything scripted. And so I'm really proud of how far along it's come.
Fusebox count
in terms of scripting. But even though I still get emails saying like, man, you changed, man. You've it's too polished. It's too professional looking. I liked you when you were like, they kind of like the amateurish quality of it. So it's, you know, it takes all sorts, I guess.
There will always be that little element that I don't I don't get it.
The purity nerds.
You're too good. You look too good. You do too well.
I do understand it because it's trust is such a huge thing when it comes to people following a critic. It sounds silly, but if you don't trust the critic, it's why a lot of people don't like GameSpot or a lot of the video critics on there, because there's a perception that they've sold out, that they're you know, they're working for a paycheck and they're not. It's not pure criticism, you know.
Did you ever watch Classic Game Room?
Actually, I'm sorry to interrupt. Real quick, Spoonie, do me a favor and go ahead and tell me if I were looking for your stuff online so I could compare some of the early stuff compared to some of the more recent stuff. Where could we find you, and are there any particular bits that you've done online that you're very proud of?
If you were looking for my stuff, just go to spoonieexperiment.com.
Plug.
And the easiest way is there's a link up top says video list. And that's like every video I've ever done. It's not in chronological order, which actually I should work on getting that done to where you can kind of see the progression. But, you know, the earliest thing I ever did online was a video review of The Adventures of Bayou Billy for the Nintendo. That's about as early as it ever gets. And other early ones are like Heroes of the Lance. John Carpenter's The Thing for the PC is another really early one. And, you know, as it's gone on, as it's evolved, some of the latest ones I've done would be Highlander 2 The Quickening, which is a movie review, of course.
Two-parter, too.
Wing Commander Privateer.
One of the most interesting games out there. I love the Wing Commander series, but man, did they veer off into left field.
Oh, yeah. You're saying stuff I was especially proud of?
Yes.
I was just thinking about this. I actually really am proud of the Highlander 2 review. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just about to bring that up. I was going to say, you really kind of outdid yourself with the Highlander 2 one.
Yeah, well, thanks. That one was one I always asked myself, you know, why haven't I done this before? Because, like, I almost reviewed a Highlander 2 The Quickening in almost everything I do. It's kind of, it's silly, but, you know, when you start looking back, and it's one of those things that's kind of in the common lexicon of just like the most horrible things ever. And then I look back and I'm like, why have I not done this? And so maybe it was just because it was almost too easy.
It's sort of the modern Plan 9, how everyone compares Plan 9 as the worst film ever made.
Yeah.
Highlander 2 is the modern version of Plan 9.
And honestly, if I'm being fair, it's not that it's really, really bad. But I've seen so much worse. And where it really comes down to is the letdown factor. I grew up watching Highlander 1, and that was like, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Highlander 1, I love that film.
One of the most fun movies. I'll say most fun. I won't say best in terms of like quality, but it really is a purely fun movie. And then everyone wanted to see Highlander 2 because they're like, more of this. You know, they were so excited. They got the cast back. They got Connery. They got Lambert. And they all came back, and it was just hideous. You know, it was just god-awful.
Ironically enough, it's not the worst thing Michael Ironside's ever been in. Wasn't he in Karate Kid 4?
No.
I mean, I love Michael Ironside, but the one with the girl. I think he was in the one without Ralph Macchio. It was the next Karate Kid. I don't think it had a number.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, he was like a sadistic commandant or something, and it's like, Michael Ironside, what the hell happened to you, man? You and John Saxon were the epitome of awesome for action heroes, in my opinion. Steven Seagal got nothing on John Saxon.
You know, we can
veer actually,
off.
It's funny we bring that up because I was just writing a script for my next review. It's actually, I found a movie. It was actually as I was doing research for the Highlander series when I was doing Highlander 2, I saw a movie that was actually worse.
What was that?
Highlander: The Source.
Oh my God!
I don't know if you've ever seen this movie.
Yes,
but
I have.
When I saw Highlander: The Source, I almost didn't want to do the quickening anymore because I was like, I was so mad, I was just raving, incoherently
but
crazy
didn't you say
about
you weren't
this
even
movie.
A fan
how
of the
bad
series,
it was.
Though? I mean, of the TV, you weren't even a fan of the TV series. You said though, right? Of which The Source is essentially the finale movie.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think the show gets a bad rap. I was actually a big fan of the early seasons just because, it was basic. You know, it worked. And then it really went on too long.
Well, in the final season, every episode was a spinoff pilot because
the final series, I've never seen this before, but like there was a run of 8 to 10 episodes in the first part of that series, which were backdoor pilots.
Yeah. Because everyone was a female immortal trying to be a protagonist because they were desperately trying to get the spinoff series, and then they just said, just give it to Amanda.
Yeah, they did so many of these spinoffs. They really wanted a female immortal series, and they were like, just do the Raven.
And you know,
do it with Amanda.
The Raven really had nothing to do with Highlander either. It was a buddy cop show where one of the characters happened to be an immortal. You know,
well,
otherwise it was basically
a
buddy cop show
with the title Highlander. And it's actually something that's really plagued the series from the beginning was they should have called it Immortal. And instead they call it Highlander. And Highlander has
TV series called Immortal from the 70s. So they probably didn't want to think it was a remake of that.
So that's why every time they do a spinoff or every time they do a new series or a movie, it always has to be this McLeod guy. Because it can't. It has to be a Scott. You know, they care about the Highlander thing. They don't care about anything else. Like it could be from Zeist. But it has to be a Scottish a character named McLeod.
Exactly. So we're doing what I thought we'd accidentally do is veer off of the topic.
Trolling.
Yes, trolling. Back to trolling.
That's what I'm here for. To make a little science.
Yeah,
to Josh,
he just wrote me
says,
a little
bring
note.
It
bring it
to
back
trolls.
To trolls. Because
Troll 2 is a really horrible movie.
Yes.
No, it's actually an amazing movie on a certain level.
No,
but
if Josh likes it, it's a horrible movie.
Shut up. But, you know, not to kind of plug myself into this, but with my association with you from It Came From Beyond Midnight, I know the brunt of trolls as well. You know, because you saw how just brutal they were hitting your site. Over you having the audacity to put my show on there, even though you were involved in it, you know, and that I don't get the mindset of that, you know, of these
you know,
people.
I honestly do, and it's something that I've struggled with a lot, and the thing is, it sounds silly, but you can't take it personally.
Oh yeah, I realize that, but you just the hatred. I just don't understand where it was coming from.
People don't realize that they're being – people say these things, and there's really no filter for hyperbole. So, you know, whenever people complain, it's just instant screaming. It's either they love it or they hate it. There's no middle ground. Nobody's going to post online saying, like, I have no opinion on this. You know, they're always going to say something really loud. And the thing is, if it's – when I say it's not just you, if I were to post anyone's videos, if I were to post – you know, I were to put Sean Faust's videos, or if I were to put Nostalgia Critic, and I have done this, I put Nostalgia Critic's videos on my site. They hated it. And if I were to put The Angry Nerd, you know, if I were to do something like that, it was like if it was his video, they'd be like, what does this have to do with the Spoonie Experiment? This isn't you. We come here to see you. And I can say, like, guys, you know, I'm a team player. You know, I collaborate with people. That's what I do. You know,
right.
And I kind of have been. At the same time, my particular fans are kind of militant, and I don't know when this started, I've kind of gotten a reputation of being this guy with really really militant fans who are kind of intolerant, and I know that's not true. I think I just have more vocal fans than most,
but
if that makes sense.
Okay, now I'm gonna go out on a slight conspiracy theory here, but like. When it came to the It Came From Beyond Midnight comments, I have a feeling it was one or two people under multiple IDs.
It was.
Because
you're right.
I kept seeing the same exact phrases again and again by different people, and they kept saying the exact same thing in the exact same words. So I started going, this is one or two motherfuckers pretending to be 15 to 20 people. And
you're right.
That's the part, honestly, I don't get.
I was getting upset, and when you were getting upset, I was. It was really unfair that I was getting upset at the fan base, because this has been a problem for a long time, and I got really, really upset. And I think I really alienated a lot of my fan base, and I apologize for that when I got mad at them, because Scarlett was looking through the comments and realized that they were all coming from the same eyepiece, you know, similar registered sock puppet email accounts. And I don't know why. I don't know how they got motivated to do this, but apparently these guys really took a hatred to you guys, or just a hatred to anything that wasn't me, and they signed up several accounts, and they used them to repeatedly post these really just vulgar fucking swear, you know, just horrible things.
See, I didn't see most of those. Most of those were taken down before I got a chance to see them. So Scarlett told me about them, but I didn't see most of those really nasty comments. But my thing is, what is your opinion on the mindset of why someone would do this? The mindset of taking the time to go sign up all these different IDs. Like, what do you think? Did they just think you would go, oh, I'm getting rid of Midnight, fuck that, these you know, 15 people, as far as you knew, are completely right? I mean, did they think that was what was going to happen?
Well, to a degree, it was probably my fault, because the worst thing you can do to a troll is feed it, and yes. So there came a time when I was actually responding to him on Twitter and kind of starting arguments.
I saw that, but you were defending us, so I felt really good about that.
It doesn't matter, honestly. You just got to ignore it, because as soon as you open the dialogue with them, it really encourages them, because all of a sudden they're talking to a celebrity, or they're affecting a change, or they're bothering you. But you know, depending on whatever reaction, they're getting a reaction.
I like the one guy who, I can't remember if he called you a fascist or a Nazi, because you insisted on still putting our stuff on your own site. I can't remember what he called you.
How dare you?
I can't remember, but it really is just the opening of the dialogue that really helps to feed the trolls, and really it validates the time and effort they've put into doing this, because as soon as you start responding to them, it's validating, you know, it's right. It worked. You know, all of a sudden they will keep doing it, because you're willing to, the show's not about my stuff anymore, it's about my argument with them.
Right. Well, I saw you got a lot of nasty over the Deadliest Warrior stuff, too.
That was kind of that was me trolling, honestly. That was probably
intentionally
a mistake
or
I
not?
Made.
Were you intentionally trolling, or just if you fell into it?
I kind of fell into it, and before I realized that it got bigger than anything else I'd realized. What happened was this guy I know named Sketch, who does some music.
He does the opening for Midnight. Yeah, I've worked with Sketch.
He posted a link to a review on GameFAQs, or a thread on GameFAQs, about the Deadliest Warrior game. And I go over there and I post a link to my review, because I'd done this really horrible, scathing review of Deadliest Warrior. And so,
it was funny,
really,
though.
You know, if you're going into somebody's house and just kicking their dog, they're going to get mad. So I was going into basically a thread dedicated to fans of the game, and they do exist. But, you know, I went down there, and there's about 50, 60 people down there who like the game. And I went down there and said, your game sucks. Go to my site and comment. And they did. You know, so, like, what did I expect?
But
and
you
so,
actually got the game developers bitching at you, too, which I thought was really funny.
I'm not sure how authentic that was. I'm told that was an authentic developer or some kind of press agent who was kind of following the GameFAQs thread. But, yeah, I actually got into a dialogue with them, and that was a really surreal moment where they were calling anyone who didn't like the game mentally deranged. That was a weird time, but that one just blew up because, you know, let's just say there was 50 or 60 people. You know, those 50 or 60 people go to my site and they post a comment, and then three times that many people post comments arguing with the 60 people, and all of a sudden you've got like 240, you know, comments bouncing back and forth as this argument goes on. Like, you know, it kind of factions off into like 60 different arguments of people calling each other names, and it just kind of escalates, you know.
It's like a really bad Mass Effect dialogue tree that just goes way out of control, huh?
It was the very definition of a flame war, where it just, like, you know, it just gets ugly and it descends into name calling, and nobody really knows what anyone's arguing about anymore.
Yeah,
that's when we reach the pinnacle of Godwin's law. And for those that don't know, Godwin's law states that for any argument on the internet, at some point the argument will end by someone calling somebody else a Nazi or Hitler or invoking that era.
Yeah,
you know,
all of a sudden it's like the Glenn Beck Tourette's thing, where there's Nazis everywhere.
Exactly,
everything's a Nazi.
Exactly.
But the other thing is, Noah, with trolls that I don't get and I'd like your opinion on, is the people that just seem to try and piss somebody else off when those people are in a bad spot. Like the pedo bear. Now, I know the pedo bear, you know, as an internet joke, but you see on, you know, real news stories of like a little 8-year-old girl that's abducted and, you know, brutally raped, and then people just all of a sudden start posting pedo bear comments all over the, you know, the article. And I don't get that. All, you know, is their intention just to hurt the family of this little girl? Because that's, to me, unnecessary to start the pedo bear comments, you know, when a real child has been hurt.
It's an immaturity thing. Honestly, it doesn't bother me as much as it probably should, because...
You've been desensitized.
In a way. It's really just an immaturity thing. And, you know, there's kind of a movement to take back certain taboo topics. It's a black humor thing.
Well, I understand that, you know, but I've seen some people where they're just being cruel, you know, making rape jokes about a little girl that just got violated.
Noah?
Yeah, what's up?
Scott, I know Josh has not, but I've spent quite a bit of time here on 4chan, and I'm guessing you've wandered through that site from time to time.
I've actually never been, but I'm familiar with it. I mean, I've seen, I know enough about 4chan to know I never really want to hang out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting place, and it's full of trolls and this kind of black humor that you guys are talking about, and it's something that I have to remind people, is that when you introduce anonymity and distance from, like here, talking to you now, where you can hear me and
we can talk back.
We can talk back and forth. I'm not going to look at you and go, "You're wrong, you stupid motherfucker," because you're a Nazi, and I hope that your entire family gets raped. You know, you know that that's not something you say. But when you introduce anonymity, where you don't know me, and distance, where we're not directly interacting with one another, it brings out two things. And that is both the best and the worst of all humanity. And 4chan is one place to see that. This particular black humor that Josh has been talking about is another good example of it. I think it serves an odd purpose. And I'd like your opinion on this, where if you deal with a news story about these horrible, horrible things and you deal with it with humor, that's kind of one way of not letting it clog up your brain and cause yourself to go mad. So I, as horrible as it is, I can find usefulness in it. And is that anything like where you belong?
Honestly, I think this goes to a lot of different... We're touching a lot of bases with this sort of thing. I mean, inappropriate humor exists everywhere. And you said, like, if we were talking face-to-face, you'd never make, you know, rape jokes or wish cancer on me or something like that. But honestly, you don't hang out with my friends. Honestly, when, you know, I hang out at a Friday game group, and we make jokes like that all the time. We call each other bastards. You know, we curse each other out. You know, we wish horrible things on one another around the table.
But at the same time, you know,
at the same time,
that's
a comfortable circle of friends. We know each other, and we know that we're just busting each other's balls. It really depends. You know, on the internet, the level of discourse is very much lowered, and it really depends on the kind of behavior conduct that's enforced on wherever you are. On my site, it's really not tolerated, and that's why I'm sometimes called a fascist, and, you know, my admins are called fascists, because I really do try to maintain a higher level of discourse than most other places. But 4chan, it's the jungle out there. You know, it's on 4chan, it's a playground.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to get that.
Yeah, because to me, it just it seems like there are people that, because of the anonymity of the internet, they think they can do whatever they want because, you know, you're going to have to try really hard to get their IP address and trace it back and find their real name. Whereas, like, you, yes, you're known as the Spoony One, but you also use your real name on everything, you know? And it came from Beyond Midnight. I'm credited under my real name. I'm not hiding anything. You know, and even on this show, Scott and I, we haven't put our last names out there, but it would require a minuscule amount of effort to find out our last names and all the clues we've given exactly where we live. We're not hiding under any anonymity, and that's the thing I don't understand, is these people that just go, nobody's ever going to find me, so I can do whatever the fuck I want. Whereas you can't do that in a regular society, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, it seems to me it's almost the anonymity of the internet is what causes trolls. That if these people had to post under their real name, these people would shut the fuck up and go the hell away.
All right, Spoony, you're a gamer. Do you play WoW?
I used to. I played for about a year and a half. Haven't in a while, although I am curious to see Cataclysm when it comes out.
I've gotten into that game enough to know I'm not going to get into that game or I won't do anything else ever again.
I've seen too many friends sucked into the black hole of WoW.
But I think Blizzard saw the point that we're trying to make with their forums and whatnot. Do you remember when they tried to enforce, what was the name of the
Real ID, I think it was.
Thank you, Real ID. When you had to post under your real name on the forums as opposed to remaining anonymous.
I remember that. Honestly, I think that was a plan with really good intentions that got blown way out of proportion. People immediately started screaming, you know, lack of privacy and you know, internet fascism and stuff like that. And I really think the people who were trying to implement that plan had no schemes to violate anyone's privacy. They were just trying to, they were looking for some way to maintain order, you know, and
I think they were looking for civility.
Yeah.
Really. And the internet, not known for civility. Because you can find anything on the internet except civility.
Oh, you can find civility on the internet. It's out there.
If you pay a hooker to be civil to you.
No. I it's sites like Spoonies, and it's good moderation that when somebody first arrives at the site, looks through the forums, looks through the posting and whatnot, at least on the surface and with good moderation, it can appear civil. And I think as long as that level of civility, it's the reason Disney constantly keeps people out in their parks with brooms and dustpans more than is truly necessary is because when people see somebody sweeping up the stuff that's left,
it's the perception of civility.
It makes those park guests want, you know, God, that they do a lot of work doing that. Maybe I should throw this bottle in the garbage can as opposed to just tossing it to the side.
Mind control.
Or something like that. It's not really mind control. It's civility enforces civility.
Okay.
And uncivility enforces uncivility. Because I know when I go to a forum and they're all just being stupid and being bastards and assholes, gee, it might be fun to investigate my dark side and jump in here and get to be a bastard and an asshole that I can't be otherwise.
But would you do that if you had to use your real name?
In my case, yeah, because I am. I am a huge jerk. But,
Well, like, Noah, for you, would you, if you had the anonymity of not being known as Noah Antweiler, would you sort of pull a Richard Bachman, Stephen King thing if you thought you could get away with it?
That's a strange question. You're saying, like,
if you thought you could get away with, say, another persona that nobody could trace to Noah Antweiler, and you would become like your own enemy and you could totally sell it, is that something you would think would be fun? If you could become Richard Bachman to Stephen King?
I don't know. That's never really occurred to me up to this point.
It just
I guess
to
you're
me.
Asking...
you know, because like you always post under your real name. And like we were talking about the anonymity, would you act differently if you were not posting something as Noah Antweiler, I guess is the question. Would you act differently if you did not have to be seen as the Spoony One or Noah Antweiler?
I guess I'd have to say yes, just because, like I said, that's kind of a hard one for me because this is pretty much all I've ever done is, you know, I have never really had that layer of obfuscation. I guess the way I could relate it to is discuss actually my dealings with James Rolfe, the angry nerd.
Right.
He actually does have very different personas. You know, his persona as the nerd is really nothing like his persona as James. You know, he doesn't dress like that. He really doesn't talk that way. And he's actually a very private and almost introspective person.
I kind of got that from the brawl behind the scenes stuff, how he just kind of sat back and let everyone else do their thing. You know, I kind of got that from the behind the scenes on that one.
And so there's a level of, I really don't have that level of having a persona. I mean, there is a kind of an on-camera persona, but I do enough vlogs and I do enough stuff on Wrestle, where you pretty much see me in my natural environment. You know, I do animate a little more for the cameras, but, you know, what you see is what you get when it comes to me.
But in a lot of cases, like you were just pointing out with the nerd, a lot of people, especially the trolls, and I'm not sure if it's them being assholes or really being idiots, they don't seem to get the point of playing a character. You know, there are people that probably think James Rolfe, the person, really is the angry video game nerd, and if they meet him and, you know, like if they run into him at a cafe or something, they're expecting the nerd, and they don't expect James. Mm-hmm. You know, like, since I'm egotistical, to swing it back to me on Midnight, some of the comments we kept getting were people thinking that the character I was playing on Midnight of that, you know, jackass, that was really me. You've known me for quite a while. Is that me?
I have a better way to understand the question that you're asking. Let me say, let's say I wanted to say something, I really wanted to tell somebody off on Twitter or something like that, and I wanted to call the guy, like I had some kind of belief that would be really controversial. I wanted to say I wanted to use an ethnic slur or something.
Okay.
Would I be more comfortable using that ethnic slur under my public persona, or if I had a different, if I had somebody, if nobody could be able to tell who I was, would I be more comfortable using that slur under that persona? Yeah. Because, you know, I have a reputation that could be easily and irreparably damaged if I were to, I can't even imagine what I would say, but, you know, like I said, you know, what you see is what you get with me, but if I were to say something controversial, I do have to consider whether or not that would harm my reputation or somehow come back to me.
So, in a way, you kind of self-censor?
Yeah.
Because, see, I agree with that, and I understand why you do it, whereas, like, when I'm doing Midnight, and a lot of the ones that haven't aired, you know, showed up on your site yet, because they're the ones that were recorded after we knew we were kicked off TV, you're going to see me going fucking crazy. And, you know, people are going to think that that's really me making all these anti-Sarah Palin, brutal anti-Sarah Palin comments and brutal, you know, pedophile jokes. That, and, you know, people are not going to understand that that's not really me, that that's the character I'm playing on Midnight. You know,
will be rough because you are using your real name. You know, that'll be hard to separate.
But see, like, people, I mean, some of the comments for Midnight, I think people really thought we were a real video store. Some of those comments seem to think that, you know, I actually got emails about, like, where are you guys located? I want to, you know, kind of like Kevin Smith's comic store being real. People thought the video store in Midnight was a real store and not a set. And that kind of had me worried about, do these people think this is all real? You know, kind of thing. It's like, do they think, you know, I'm really this mean to Joe in real life when he's been a friend of mine for about 7 years now? You know, I really don't treat him as badly as I do on the show. That's part of the character, that I treat him that bad, you know?
Why do you treat that Leslie guy so mean?
Because, well, Leslie Stryker's a jerk. I mean, come on, you got to admit that. And hopefully at Halloween you'll, you know, kill yourself or something. So I hope Leslie goes nuts for Halloween.
So where do you think, Noah, where do you think internet trolls, do they play a positive role anywhere? We've talked about how they like to incite fights or use say horrible things and hide behind anonymity and multiply themselves.
Yeah.
Easily findable through IP addresses and whatnot. But
tough question. I mean, you know, I positive role?
Yeah.
Immature, badly spelled rambling. I guess it serves the same cultural relevance as graffiti you'd see on, you know, ancient Roman ruins. I mean, there is cultural significance there, but a positive impact, I don't see any.
Well, because, okay, maybe not for trolls, but for the anonymity of the internet. Because I know Scott told me about a story where somebody posted something to 4chan. I mean, he can tell the story a little bit better, I think. But the gist of it was the woman was, like, stepping on puppies or something and like, hurting them. And the 4chan people went and dug up her IP address and all this and posted it so people could, you know, take her to task for her animal cruelty. And I guess you could say that that's sort of a positive story.
There's
unless
actually,
I screwed up the
there's
details.
There's a couple of examples like that. The one that you're thinking about was there's a woman, Eastern European. I don't remember. I don't remember exactly where. But Eastern European, and she was taking puppies that were maybe a day or two old and throwing them into the river.
Okay.
And basically drowning these puppies for fun because she didn't want them. And thanks to people on 4chan doing a little bit of searching and whatnot, they found her, contacted a local news source. Local news source found her, interviewed her, found out all the puppies except for one lived, and they all didn't even make it to the pound. They kind of got adopted out on the scene. And so we have those puppies making a wonderful comeback. To bring it back home, there's a rather famous video of a U.S. soldier in Iraq tossing a puppy off of a cliff.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's out there. But, yeah, he basically grabs this little puppy, tosses it off of a cliff, and it was seen by the right people, put into the hands of Marine
JAG
officers and stuff like that. He was investigated and eventually court-martialed. For
Good.
This cruelty to animals and whatnot. So I think, but I'm not real sure if those qualify as internet trolls. A lot of people see them as what are called white knights. But to me, you could be a little bit of both.
What do you think on that?
I mean, I guess the question was, does the anonymity of the internet serve any purpose? Yeah, totally. And it, not just for legal reasons, but I'm not sure how to phrase what I'm thinking here.
We stumped you again, huh?
It's okay. Take your time.
Well, while you're forming that, the other question I wanted to ask you, which you can get to later, is do you think that the trolls are really just like your average people, or are we talking the stereotypical basement dweller, you know, Unabomber style people that are obsessive? Or do you think a lot of, like, the trolls on your site are just an average person who gets a little bit into what they're trying to say or their point?
Oh, they're just people. You know, it's easy to chalk them up as lunatics or the kind of, you know, unwashed guys sitting around in their underwear. It's just people. You know, everyone's got an opinion. And it's just many people have less of a grip on self-censorship than others, you know, and so it's empowering to have that kind of anonymity. It really is. And so a lot of people just have kind of a verbal diarrhea, you know, the way people gossiped before the internet, people gossip with the internet, and that's
right.
All that's it. I don't think it's fair to just dismiss everyone as being crazy and kind of Unabomberish nuts. It's, they're not,
but I would say from what I've seen on your site, some of these people, I would say, are borderline there, because you keep seeing the same phrases come up on your videos. Like, and I disagree with this, but one that I've seen numerous times is, why can't you be funny like you were in 2008? These people keep bringing up the year 2008 is when you stopped being funny.
Well, it's nice to have a nice little time stamp on that.
Like I said, I disagree with that. I think you're actually funnier now than ever. But what do you think of like a person like that, that every time they post.
I just wonder what video that year doesn't actually help me. I made a lot of videos in 2008. What video was it where I stopped being funny?
I'm just saying, if you go through them, you'll see that comment pop up a lot. Why can't we get to 2008 era Spoonie back? And I'm like, he's the same Spoonie as far as I'm concerned from 2008 to 2010. He's actually getting better.
I think I know what it is. Is they perceive that I've changed focus, and I have. It used to be that I would just review kind of classic games for the NES and PC, and that was pretty much it. You know, I didn't have the green screen effects. I didn't have these characters. It was simple. I was sitting in a chair. I'd review a game, and that was it. You know, that's the change of focus. And I think that what they're saying is, you know, the evolution, I may have added too much, or I've changed focus to doing movies, and I do collaborations. They don't like the fact that I do collaborations. They don't like the fact that I do vlogs. They don't like the fact that I do, like, Riff Track style stuff. They want my focus to stay very, very tight, on basic things. They want me to do Final Fantasy games. They want me to do the NES games, classic stuff. They don't really like experimentation because they feel it's too broad. It slows down the production schedule. And to a degree, maybe they're right. You know,
on the other side,
I can throw, and I apologize for the talking over and whatnot, I'm going to throw my half in on this too. I used to do a podcast called Satercast long while back.
Plug.
No, it's no plug because it's no longer around and it's very, very hard to find the files. But it lasted for about 3 years. And over those 3 years, it evolved and changed from what it was. And when I used to get comments like that, like, you stop being funny at episode blah.
Right.
Or, I hate the way you do this now. Can we go back to blah? I used to call them militant nostalgics. Maybe it was somebody
Just want the same thing over and over again.
How dare you grow and evolve? How dare your sense of humor change? How dare you mature as a human being? And I guess it's because maybe they were in a better spot in their life back then than they are now, and they want that grip to that time or something like that. So, you know, I know exactly where they're coming from, and I guess part of it is your audience is also going to change over time. You might start out with dick and fart jokes attracting 12 and 13 year olds, and then as you mature, those 12 and 13 year olds get upset that they can't be 12 and 13 year olds anymore.
True.
And, you know, so that's where I think that sentiment comes from. And I really don't blame people, because, I mean, look at where we've been. We did an episode of this radio show on what film directors
have lost their shit.
Have lost their shit could also be interpreted as have matured and changed.
No, I refuse to ever say that Kevin Smith grew or changed with Zach and Miri Make a Porno. That was not growing and changing.
I understand, but that's you know, and I agree. But that I think is the same mindset where we were. Now,
the other thing I was going to say was what you just brought up, Noah, before Scott rambled on. I'm just giving him shit because he's a friend. That people want the same thing, that they want your same style of like reviewing classic games. But the fact that you don't review well-known games is, I think, what makes you the most unique. Because you're reviewing games that, let's be honest, most of us have never played Privateer before. You know, most of us have never played the Star Trek Borg FMV, you know? Whereas everybody is reviewing, you know, Superman 64. Everyone's reviewing E.T. You know, I know you've done E.T., but, you know, you're doing the more obscure movies, more obscure games. I mean, how many video reviews are there of the clones of Bruce Lee besides yours? None that I can think of. You're doing the more unique stuff, and you're not falling into that same niche of, I'm just reviewing this, you know, it's just my review of the same game you saw the nerd do,
yeah,
and you saw the critic do, and you saw, you know, Sage do, and you saw Angry Joe do. You're doing all the weird stuff, which is one of the things I like the most.
Yeah, I mean, thanks. It helps give it. You really gotta, if you're gonna get into the whole game, you gotta try to find an identity and something that sets you apart, something that really nobody else does. And actually, I think it's a tribute to some critics, especially Red Letter Media, who I really think is gonna become huge if he's not huge already.
The Plinkett stuff is just
the
phenomenal.
Fact that he's covering Star Wars is I actually, if anyone was like, I'm gonna cover Star Wars, I'd be like, ooh, no, bad idea. Because everyone's done that, but you know he's done it.
Such a unique and new way.
Yeah. But really, you know, I honestly have chosen some obscure stuff, but really for the most part, I'd say 90% of the stuff that I do is just stuff that I grew up with, and I think that's even like the whole thesis of the show is, you know, this is the stuff as a kid that really pissed me the hell off. You know, clones of Bruce Lee, maybe not, but you know, Highlander 2, Bayou Billy. Stuff like Demolition Man, Dirty Harry. I rented this stuff from Blockbuster. I play this all the time.
But I'm looking at more like the stuff like Privateer and Phantasmagoria. And, you know, I'll admit, I'd never even heard of Privateer before I watched your review. And then I went out and looked for those video files, you know, the files of all the FMV stuff, because you got me interested in it. It looked really fucking cool. You know? And I think, you know, like all the Sega CD stuff. How many people out there have actually played a Sega CD game? You know, most people, they've heard of it. You know, they've seen the nerd. And this is the one thing that I dislike the nerd for is sometimes as part of his shtick, he overdoes his hatred for something that's really not that bad, like the Sega CD. You know, I love the Sega CD, but he gave that thing such a bad rap that everybody just goes, the nerd hated it. That's got to be... You know, it's got to suck.
I am familiar with this. He's actually done a bunch of reviews that he has basically shelved because he wasn't angry enough in them.
Okay.
And he's posted reviews before where he was actually very positive and complimentary of certain things, like The Legend of Zelda. You know,
right?
He did. I remember this is actually the best example probably is he did a review of The Legend of Zelda Timeline where he tried to kind of.
Yeah, the chronologically
explain it, and he
one.
Says, "I never really did this. I never produced this fully because I wasn't that angry." And he kind of got bashed for it because he kind of cursed a little bit over it. But overall, he just kind of gave like a documentary feel of it. You know, it wasn't his typical review. So you'll actually notice now that whenever he does videos that are not angry, it's not the nerd.
Yeah, it's just James Rolfe.
Yeah.
But like with you, have you done anything like that where you have kind of gone, this is pissing me off, but I can't really articulate in a great way why it's so bad that I'm just not going to do it?
Pumpkinhead was actually one of those where I was very easily able to articulate why I didn't like it, but it was so hard I could never get past even like the first part of the first level.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
had to bring
that was
Cat
one
in.
Game where I could just I was completely beaten by that game. I could not get anything but the first level, and so I was like, that one took me a long time to write because I could tell you why it sucked, but I couldn't get anywhere in that game. You know,
well,
it was just
okay. Then I guess my next question would be, how much of your anger at some of these movies and games is exaggerated for the camera? For instance, your hatred of Microcosm on the Sega CD, or I think you had it on PC.
Oh no, Microcosm, that was pretty authentic, yeah.
Okay, because I mean, your anger was almost to, and this is not meaning to be insulting, but to ridiculous levels
and
of your hatred for that.
So I've played that game. God,
I've got it on Sega CD, but you know, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as Sewer Shark.
There were a few times when I get really angry, and people were actually kind of emailing like, "Dude, are you okay?" Like they were kind of concerned at how angry I got, and I think really it, I kind of do have like an angry face, to where when I do get angry, it looks people say like I look kind of scary when I get angry. I kind of get the crazy eyes.
Okay.
And honestly, I look really angry most of the time. Like whenever I'm concentrating or something, or when I'm thinking, I don't know what
it
is. Maybe
pissed.
My brow furrows and I kind of scowl or something like that. Just when I'm thinking, I look angry, and so people often look over at me and like. Dude, you okay? You look fucking pissed. And I'm like, what?
I'm just thinking.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about something. You know, like, it's, I don't know. So I maybe I have kind of a scary face when I look angry, but it is exaggerated. Like, you know, when I, you know, I don't really start brandishing knives at people and start screaming, like, I'll stab you in the brain.
Yeah, like the microcosm. And people sent me a Sega CD to play this on. I'll visit you personally, and you got the knife and camera view.
I'm not going to stab anybody. Like, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. But Pumpkinhead did make me really, really mad. You know, like when it comes to Highlander.
It made you so mad you went and bought another copy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Highlander, it may be, like, if you get me started talking about Highlander, I will, like, scream and shout about it. I really will. About the whole series.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Noah, we get about 5 minutes left, and I'm gonna veer off to a quick topic here at the very end. First off, I haven't picked it up yet, but I've heard mixed reviews. What do you think of Civ 5?
I love Civ 5. It's really good. And I think it's honestly it's the changes they made are so natural and so logical that one wonders why they haven't done it before. And I'm speaking really of the fact that there's no longer any stacks. Like, you don't stack units. It's one unit per hex for the most part.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, right now I have no clue what the two of you are talking about.
That's okay.
About.
You can deal with it. real quick, favorite game in the history of ever.
I hate to throw in Privateer. I actually made a top 30 list where I put Tetris as number one, and I guess Tetris is the game I've played more than anything else. But if I'm disqualifying that, my favorite games of all time would probably be Wing Commander Privateer.
Even with the broken controls?
Ultima 5 Warriors of Destiny is one of my favorites by quite a lot.
Definitely.
But I'm kind of an old school dude like that. Console games... honestly, one of my favorite console games of all time is Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem for the GameCube.
I've heard of that, but I've never played. I've heard that that's the one that fucks with you by, like, pretending to eat your memory card and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just naming off games now that I really love. System Shock.
all right. Are there been any good FMV games, since you've got a whole segment called FMV Hell? Have you ever played a good FMV game?
Yeah, totally. Gabriel Knight, if you've ever seen the full motion video Gabriel Knight games, are really good.
Yes, they are. Classics. Right along there. Okay, so Gabriel Knight.
And honestly, the Phantasmagoria games, as full motion video games go, are pretty good.
As long as he's not talking to his rat.
They're pretty well made. I hate to... the best full motion video game by far is Wing Commander 3, Wing Commander 4. Those two games in particular are awesome.
To me, the Privateer stuff looked pretty good for the FMV. They looked like they spared no expense on the Privateer stuff.
No, that's what killed me about Privateer 2 was
or
the
Privateer
fact
2,
that
sorry.
They basically filmed that like a science fiction movie with millions of dollars of budget. You know, they had sets, they had great actors, they had a full, like a cast of like all-star British actors, you know. And they spent so much money on the movie and they just... They
forgot to put in.
They forgot to program
play.
A good game, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, since we're getting up to the end here, let's remind everybody: I can never remember Spoonie Experiment or the Spoonie Experiment.
It's just SpoonieExperiment.com. But if you Google Spoonie, you'll see it.
Okay. And a little plug for myself: It Came From Beyond Midnight is part of Spoonie Experiment because Noah plays film jerk Leslie Stryker in the show. And
he's a smart guy. You should treat him with more respect.
Hey, you said that I'm gonna die by your I'm gonna die by Leslie's hand in one episode. Come on, man. You know, I, personally, just on a Josh and Noah level, I love the antagonism that your characters and mine have on that. I just love the way we're constantly throwing shit at one another.
Yeah.
So.
I should thank you for the show because I've actually been exposed to some really good movies. Like Phase 5 actually has grown to be one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, and I would have never seen that movie had you not shown that to me.
Well, and I think you said you haven't even gotten around to watching all of them yet. You've got some cool ones coming up still, too.
Is it Phase 4?
Phase 4. Yeah, right. Phase 5 is a joke you made in one of the Leslie segments for I can't remember what. But it was like zombies or something. Oh my god, it's Phase 5. I loved the joke, a little continuity humor. But all right, we're coming up on the end here, so I want to thank Noah. I'm Josh.
I'm Scott. I've been roughly silent on this one, but
who am I again?
Are you Noah or are you Spoonie?
It's either one, man. It's okay. I've actually, it was kind of weird when I was collaborating with that guy with the glasses. They were calling me Spoonie, and nobody really ever called me that by that name before. So I kind of react to both now.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. You got 20 seconds here, Spoonie. Say anything you want to the internet trolls right now.
Oh, you guys need to calm down. We're all here to have fun. You know what I'm saying? That's like when you come to my site, you come around to have fun. So just have some laughs and don't be mean. Because no matter where you go, there you are.
All right. You've been listening to Lost in the Static on Jackalope 105.
Bye,
have a good
everybody.
Night. Bye.